afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
All right, today is September 21st, 2025, and before we get rolling here, no pun intended, we're talking about hemp. No, different Roland.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
That ages you, Bill.
Yeah, sorry.
So September 21st, 2025, so this will not be relevant later, and we'll probably replay the show later, but it's super relevant now. If you are unaware, and you live in California, of Prop 50. So Proposition 50 is being put on the ballot on 1st of November, November 6th, I think it is. You will get your ballot beginning of October, and if you care about representation, you would vote no on Prop 50.
What are they going to call it? Is it going to be the Fair Elections Amendment?
Oh, I'm sure. Because they're not going to call it the
Save Our Schools election.
Oh, Save Our Democracy.
Oh, democracy.
Yeah. I just always scribble that out and write Republic. But Prop 50, and if you are unaware that there is a special election coming, please get informed. If you live anywhere in California, actually, you can use ShastaGOP.com as a reference point and go from there and find things in your area. If you live in Shasta County, ShastaGOP.com has locations for signs for you. And also at that site, there's a whole tab filled with information so you can find out what it's about. You can print flyers for yourself, for your neighbors, and just basically kind of get on board. Because honestly, if the people do not turn out for this, kind of like they didn't for the recall of Newsom, we will wind up with four members of Congress in the entire state of California that are Republican. It will effectively crush Republican representation. If you live in the northern part of the state, let's say you live in Modoc County, you will be represented by likely Jared Huffman, who lives in Marin County. So if you're up for atheism and the guy who used to be the lawyer for the Natural Resource Defense Council, he's probably your guy.
Yeah. And he'll go up there all the time and have town halls. And
yeah, he's going to spend tons of time up here. Yeah. He wants to control the whole Klamath River, actually. That was his stated objective. And the next district down will be was drawn for the Speaker Pro Tem of the Sacramento, of the State Senate. And in Sacramento, there's a big fight whether they should support or not. He decided that if he was going to support it, he needed to have a district drawn for him. So they did. So that'll be the new District 1. District 2 will be at the top of the state. Please go look at the maps. So you can find that at ShastaGOP.com. So there is our Prop 50 announcement. Vote no. There might be one other thing on the ballot. I think it might be a sales tax measure in the city of Reading. And I don't think
1%,
there's any... Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else in the rest of the county, and I don't know about the other counties in the state, but it'll probably...
Scary, though. We have an ROV that has no experience running an election,
we have that. But bottom line is if you're all going to get mailed a ballot, so just make sure you talk to your friends and family, regardless of where they live in the state, and wise them up on this, because it's coming fast. Okay. Now...
And that's vote no.
That is vote no. So when you see the yellow and black signs... It's kind of interesting. The signs are yellow and black that say vote no on Prop 50. Yellow and black is the color of caution tape, crime scenes, right? Yellow and black. So it's no accident the signs are all yellow and black. All righty. So we also have Officer Joe, and we have Kathy in with us today because we're talking about hemp. Talking about hemp.
Guess what just came in on my email from SAM, or Smart Approaches to Marijuana. They just came out with an action page, and they are, because the United States Congress is going to vote very soon on legislation that would ban hemp-derived intoxicants like Delta 8 THC. And so on that page, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, very reliable organization, there is an action tab, and you can tell your Congress member to support the ban. So we'd be definitely looking for that.
Hmm. I have to link that on our links page. I will do that for today. So our guest on the phone, just in case four people in the studio wasn't enough, we have roped Jesse LeBlanc into being with us. He goes by Jay, though. It always says Jesse on his email, but everything else comes back Jay. So we're going to call him Jay today. But he is on the phone with us, and he is basically an expert on hemp because we are not. We have lots of good links for you and information, but we thought we should bring someone on who actually knows quite a bit about it. And he graduated from the University of Houston with a bachelor's in mechanical engineering in 1998, graduated summa cum laude, so he's a smart guy. And for over 25 years, he provided services as both an employee and a consultant on the inspection, repair, design, and operation of chemical refined products, gasoline and diesel fuel, and crude oil pipelines for one of the world's largest oil companies. And I'm dying to know how he got into the marijuana thing.
It's all in oil.
Is it because it's everywhere? So his entire bio is on there, but the one thing that I really wanted to point out is that he contributes information, has contributed a chapter, actually, THC and CBD decomposition and terpene hazards. We all know about terpene, right? Isn't that paint remover?
Our aromatics.
What?
Terpenes are aromatics.
Because they smell bad?
There's all kinds of different terpenes. Some are not bad for you, but some are very bad for you. But Jesse knows, and I don't.
Well, interesting. I was an English major, so, you know, like you say aromatics, I think it smells bad, right? So terpene hazards while vaping or dabbing. And, oh, boy, do we have lots of info about that. Just for your, you know, information, at wethepeopleradio.us, we have a pot tab on the top where we have all the shows that have connections to marijuana and all that, and lots of really good information. Also links to other organizations, research information. So don't take our word for it. Read the experts. So, Jay, where would you like us to start on hemp today?
Can y'all hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. I appreciate y'all inviting me. This is sort of one of my passions based on, hey, you were curious about why I got involved in this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too specific, but it had to do with an illegal grow in another state.
Oh.
Near a cabin that we had, and one thing led to the other. Started doing research, got connected with two local reporters. One thing led to the other, you know, met Aubrey Adams and Dr. Randall, Dr. Finn. And it's, you know, just being an engineer, being curious, being analytical, I just started doing a lot of reading because I didn't want this to repeat itself in Texas. But unfortunately, that's where we are now with Governor Abbott's veto of Senate Bill 3. Which was gonna basically outlaw or ban outright all THC products, you know, whether they're natural or synthetic, from a synthetic origin, specifically from CBD.
Hmm.
But I mean, there's a lot of rabbit holes to go down, Aaron. I didn't know if there's something specific y'all wanted to talk about. Well, I guess one of the things that's passionate on my end is the 2018 Farm Bill. The wording, I don't know if anybody's really read those 53 words about what is in the actual law, and I can recite it to you. I have it in front of me. But when you look at that and the terminology being used, you just say, okay, there's no way some of these legislators even knew what some of these words meant. So that, at least from my perspective, it kind of denotes that they were influenced by not doctors, or lobbyists, I'm sorry, doctors or parents, but they were influenced by lobbyists, specifically people with a science background tied to the hemp industry. And you know, once you break it down, I don't know if you want to go down that rabbit hole or if you want to get into synthetics. I have no idea. He contacted me, and it seemed like y'all had some questions. So I don't know where you want to go with this.
Sure. Start with the Farm Bill, because that did open up. I mean, anything that opens this up nationwide, and I get it, with every piece of legislation, you know, I mean, it's commonly referred to as a crap sandwich, you know. It just depends on is there more crap than less crap, and sometimes there's bad stuff in there, and you still have to vote for it. But I'm curious, what did it say about hemp in there? And you said it's 50.
53 words.
Right,
I mean, there's more to it than this.
Sure, but what's it say?
Okay, this is where all the quote-unquote loopholes come in. And this is readily available. There's a link, congress.gov, 115th Congress, Senate Bill 2667. That's sort of probably how you could search for it in Google. But, okay, this is quote-unquote. The term hemp means the plant Cannabis sativa L, and any part of that plant, including the seeds thereof and all, this is where the loopholes come in. And I don't know if they're really loopholes or this wording was specific to allow for those quote-unquote loopholes. Derivatives, extracts, cannabinoids, and I know y'all don't know what isomers are. We kind of know what acids are, but I can allude to that after. Salts of isomers, whether growing or not, with a delta 9 tetracannabinoid THC concentration of not more than 0.3% on a dry weight basis. So that's the 53 words for how they quote unquote define hemp. And some of the things that stand out, you know, they want to say hemp are all derivatives and extracts. So that's, guess what? That's how we have delta 8, THCP, you know, the latest is a hydrogenated cannabinoid to increase the shelf life. You know, like, just so people know, margarine is hydrogenated vegetable oil. Crisco is a classic example of an oil being hydrogenated to thicken it and also increase its shelf life. We know what cannabinoids are. That includes CBD, THC, et cetera, et cetera. And in isomers, I mean, do y'all know what isomers are?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but we're going to assume the public does not, because I'm the public and I've heard of them.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine senators understanding what isomers are? I doubt it. I mean, I can explain it to the audience. It's basically, you know, like THC is composed of 21 carbon atoms, 30 hydrogen atoms, and 2 oxygen atoms. You know, if you've had basic chemistry, you know, you have they call it the molecular formula. Well, CBD has the same number of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen atoms. So CBD and THC, and also delta-8, they're isomers of each other. So that's what an isomer is. And then they have acids, and how that relates to all of this is one of the quote-unquote other loopholes is they specifically call out, am I losing anybody yet?
No, you're doing fine.
Okay, great. All right. Because I don't want to get too much in the weeds where I lose people. So the 0.3%, they have the delta 9 THC, like concentration at more than 0.3%. Well, the other loophole is they have THCA, which is the acid version of it. And it's not quote unquote psychoactive, but guess what? All it takes is a little bit of heat, a little bit of storage, maybe some sunlight, some type of heat energy to knock that carboxyl group off of that. And guess what? You have THC. And that's why, you know, when they have, you know, that's a lot of reasons why they smoke it. And even in Texas, they have one vendor, and it's in a certificate of analysis that I looked at a few weeks ago for a parent. They don't have any THC in their product. But guess what? Some of their items have over 20% THCA. Okay? So all it takes is a little bit of heat, storage, et cetera, and it's going to turn into THC. And they're trying to alleviate that. But that's another thing to me that, I mean, you asked the question, was that purposely done that they included acids, you know, like the acid form of THC? And then they have salts of isomers, whether growing or not. So that's telling me it doesn't need to be the plant. It can be, you know, just the plant oil. And all that differentiates hemp from marijuana is that not more than 0.3% on a dry weight basis.
Wow.
So once they convert this to THCA, does that have the same effect on the body as THC?
Yeah, they derate it. Yeah, on the certificate of analysis, because they're getting rid of the carboxyl group. I wish this was, you know, I've got some illustrations, but I can't show it on the radio. But the formula they use is total THC is equal to THCA times 0.877, okay, plus the D9. But basically for it to be the THCA gets derated by, I mean, it's 0.877. Just say it's 90. Let's round that to 90%. We're going to do some engineering math and just round up. But that's roughly 90%. So basically the THCA is probably 90% of the quote-unquote potency of regular THC based on that formula. That's in all of these certificates of analysis that I got from multiple vendors in Texas. I mean, these are available online. And, you know, I looked at this for some parents and also for testimonies and that other people did. And I had, you know, I gave one testimony in person, another one I sent them in, but I don't know if they listened to any of that.
Well, somebody does because they've got more than just one person.
I mean, pretty much.
I'm sorry. We've got to take a really quick break.
Sure.
Not just because we did math, but, you know, we did math, right? We did math, and I wound up a minute late on the break, but, you know, so I'm not good at math. Full confession. We'll be right back. We are talking with Jesse LeBlanc. We are here discussing hemp this morning, and...
The imperfections. I got my slide rule from school. You add it up, and it don't add up. And shed some light on it too. And I'm just inches close to the finish. Cross it and bid you adieu. I calculated every combination, every misdirection, every subtle deception. Kickstart my thinking, I was lost in space, staring at a spot on the moon. Negotiating the anticipation of reentering the atmosphere too soon.
See, that's what the song sounds like when you start singing about math. You're like, wait, what? All right, so you had a burning question.
I did have a burning question, and actually it's about burning. And so, Jesse, when you were speaking about the products that are being sent into gas stations, whatever, and they are non-psychoactive when they arrive at the station, when people smoke that, is it the process of physically smoking, the heating process that converts it right then and there? Is that what's going on, roughly?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of correct you, Solly, I mean, there may be some THCA by itself in there, but at least one of the loopholes they're using in Texas and other states, I'm sure, is they'll have THCA, again, the acid form of it. And when you heat it, then it knocks off that, they call it a carboxyl group, and you wind up with just the THC delta 9 molecule. And that does the, you know, gives you, that's intoxicating. Yeah.
So,
does that make sense?
So, just a follow-up, when we talk about heating it, are we just talking about smoking it or throwing it in some tea and having hot tea? Like,
The decarboxylation process can occur during processing by the manufacturer if they raise it to 220 degrees or about 104 degrees Celsius for 30 to 45 minutes. But yeah, when it's heated in a cigarette or bong or whatever, and if it's, and if it's THCA, and it's actually the Delta 9 version of it too. It's not a Delta 8 or anything. It's Delta non-THCA, for the A stands for the acid. So once it gets, you know, if you smoked it or vaped it or during the process, you know, when you get that temperature roughly 220 degrees Fahrenheit. Now keep in mind, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's slightly above boiling point. And also, you know, this is 104 degrees Celsius water bowl. You know, 212 matches with 100 degrees Celsius. So it's rough. That's kind of ballpark number right above the boiling point of water. And, you know, once you get it to that temperature, or if you bake it, cookies or whatever, I mean, usually you have to bake cookies at least 350, 400 degrees. So, yeah, it's going to convert from THCA to just THC. And when I use these terms, I'm talking about the Delta 9 also.
Right, right. Okay, so we've been throwing around Delta 8 and Delta 9 here for a little bit. So for all the people that are going, what are they saying? Can you give sort of like the elevator speech on Delta 8 and Delta 9 and why they care about it?
Tell me if I get too technical too. So Delta 9, the Delta 8, Delta 9, and also Delta 10, you know, like I said, if I had a, you can go online and find this. But basically, let's just focus on the Delta 9, Delta 8, Delta 9. What differentiate those two molecules from one another, they're isomers of each other. They have the same number of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen atoms, you know, 21 carbon, 30 hydrogen, 2 oxygen. But the difference is, there's a called the carbon double bond on one of the hexagonal rings. There's 3 rings, and it depends on the clock position. You know, Delta 9 has it in one position, and then Delta 8 has it in another position, just right next to it, next to 9, and then Delta 10 has it on the other side of the double bond. Like I said, if I had an illustration, I could show you. But does that make sense? You know, there's
molecule. Why do they care about that? Like, what does it do? What does one do versus what does the other do?
Okay, what's interesting about it is where the and I'll get into THCP too, and that's another insidious form of it that they're making. Where that double bond is has to do affects its affinity for the receptors in your brain. And I know, like, people like to call them cannabinoid receptors. That infuriates me, as well as a lot of other doctors. I don't know why they use that term, because actually those receptors are specific for the anandamide neurochemical. But it just so happens that THC and, you know, its derivatives can also, I always think of THC sort of like a key that can basically connect to that receptor and basically turn a switch on and get people intoxicated. So that's another way to look at it. But, you know, Delta 8 reportedly is one-third as strong as Delta 9 because of where that double bond is. But what they do is, and we'll get in, I don't mean to jump around, but sell THC Delta 8O, or they'll call it THCO, but a lot of times it's Delta 8. Now, when they use a chemical called acetic anhydride to acetylate it. Now, just kind of rewind, I know we've all heard the story about the Indians using tree bark for aspirin. Basically, that chemical from the tree bark is salicylic acid. Back in the late 1800s, Bayer Chemical, the Germans are brilliant chemists. They were the ones, I think, probably the foundation for chemistry that we have today. They acetylated salicylic acid and made aspirin, okay, make a little bit stronger. And then later somebody decides, I don't know if it was Bayer or not, but I know we know they have poppy seeds. They make poppy seeds and opium, and opium is converted to morphine. Well, then they decided to acetylate morphine, and guess what? That's where we get heroin. And heroin is about 3 times stronger than morphine. And the same thing with Delta 8. Regular Delta 8 is going to be 3 times stronger than regular, you know, Delta 8O, or the acetylated version, is going to be 3 times stronger. So once you get THC, Delta 8 THCO, then it's 3 times stronger than Delta 8. Well, guess what? Delta 8 is 1/3 as strong as Delta 9, but if you acetylate it, it basically, since it increases the potency by 3, then it equals or approximately equals, let's just say that for argument's sake, the same potency as Delta non-THC.
So I have a question. If you had just, you went out, grew some plants, harvested the buds, what is that? Is that 8 or 9 without having any acetylation?
Okay. Normally it's THCA, and then over time it can convert to just Delta 9 THC. Okay, but in the plant, Delta 8 occurs naturally, but it's only like at 0.1%. It's a very, very low amount. So to make it commercially viable, what they have to do is convert CBD, which they have an overabundance of from the hemp plant, into Delta 8. And they do that using a process. They use different acids, and the acids is a catalyst, and a catalyst basically facilitates a chemical reaction without being consumed. So keep that in mind. So they have different kind of acids they use. They have citric acid. I've seen toluenic acid. There's so many different things out there. I'm not sure what industry uses, but you know, you can do it in your house. They have all kind of instructions online how to do it.
Okay, so if you go down to your local shop and you buy bud, and it's they got different names, different varieties, and so forth.
Right.
Why is that so strong if it's Delta 8? I mean, they're not treating those buds with anything, are they?
Well, if it's natural, the Delta 8 is only 0.1. It's a small percentage. So those, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen it. Most of the products that I've seen that I've studied, you know, look at the COAs, it's Delta 8 that was synthetically produced, or the industry likes to argue semi-synthetically. It's a semi-synthetic, but at the end of the day, they have to use a chemical process to convert CBD into Delta 8 THC. And then, you know, they'll put that in vapes, but it's such a high, high concentration. That could be why. But if it's bud, technically, it's going to be mostly Delta non-THC or Delta non-THCA. But at the end of the day, there's very little Delta 8 THC in it.
Okay.
From what I've read, it's 0.1% or less. It's a very, very small, minute amount. Again, that's why they're, you know, when they first had the hemp bill, you know, it's supposed to be for rope, not dope. I've seen that saying. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that was the intent, but that's not what happened. And, you know, they have this CBD pennies on the dollar, so they just use an organic solvent. And one of those is actually toluene, which is they use in paint products and other things. And some kind of acid. They do this exothermic reaction. It gives off heat. They've got to keep it cool or they'll blow themselves up, literally. And then they convert CBD into Delta 8. And it's just like a chemical plant. You know, it's next to a lot of refineries. You know, they make all these chemicals using a similar process. Not similar in a way of using catalysts and organic solvents, et cetera, heat, or got to remove the heat, depends on the process. There's different ways of making, you know, different chemical, you know, making one chemical and a different chemical. But they're just using that same process. I mean, when you think about this, if you can think about Lego blocks, chemistry is a lot like that. You can manipulate these Lego blocks into different structural configurations with the same number, same type, and come up with different, you know, molecules that act on the body in different ways.
So once you make the hemp available, there's the beginning of your Lego set.
Oh yeah, right. Because hemp is a high, you know, the hemp that they're growing, you know, it's supposed to be only 0.3% Delta 9 THC.
Oh, and it's being tested, THC. Right?
Well, that's a whole nother topic. I mean,
we'll just say no. Or we'll say not as much.
You know, the police have actually tested this stuff, and it didn't match the certificate of analysis. And they've busted several stores in Texas. Yeah, that's been in testimony after testimony that I've listened to from actually the the president of Chiefs of Police of Texas. He's an awesome guy, trying to make a difference, but for some reason it goes on deaf ears in the not all the legislators. The senators understand it. Some of the Republicans and Democrats in the House, but I don't know what happened with Governor Abbott.
Money.
But yeah, before we go down to the Texas thing, one other thing I want to add to is THCP. Okay. THCP. They sell out a lot. It's in a lot of vapes, some edibles. But this is a really insidious one. And a lot of people don't know this. But THCP was discovered, I don't know, a few years ago by this Italian group. And there's a paper on it if you do THCP. And what they found is it's over 30 times, again, 30, three times stronger than Delta non-THC, 30 times.
Wow.
And it doesn't, it occurs supposedly, reportedly in the plant, again, in I think even smaller amounts than Delta 8 THC. Okay. But, so, you know, it's not going to affect somebody, you know, as greatly as if you have a product that's, say, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 or higher percent, especially like vape THCP. Now, what they do is they can convert CBD into, you know, one form of THC and then do another chemical process to convert it over to THCP. So they're doing that also. And how that's legal, I have no idea. Supposedly their argument is because it occurs quote unquote naturally in a plant, even though it is small amount, that it's legal. And the same with Delta 8. The DEA has a letter out on this. Their idea is, you know, it's not legal. You know, it's not really quote unquote naturally occurring. There's an argument. It went to court. I don't know where it is because you know how things go when it goes to court, it gets drug out over the years. But just from a science/medical perspective, we know what Delta 9 THC does to people. Can you imagine something that's 32 times stronger? Imagine if you took Tylenol and you took something that was 32 times stronger. I mean, it's just unfathomable that that's even being allowed.
What we're finding on the enforcement side, Jesse, is even on the crappy hemp crops that come out, that they spray it with synthetic THC, and then they can then they have a high, very high potency product that's cheaper to produce than, you know, and it's on the legal side. Depending on your state, you can grow it. I also have another question for you, and it has to do with the toxicity, because we have taken loads here in California where we've had them tested and the pesticide contamination was deadly. And that same thing's going on with hemp, correct?
Yes, that and also, okay, so keep in mind, remember we talked earlier about converting CBD into Delta 8? They use an acid as a catalyst.
Yes.
A catalyst is not consumed in the chemical reaction. So what they have to do, you know, if you read up on this conversion process, and actually do this on some of the products that get out I guess what kind of helps is some of this petroleum background that I have, because they'll get refinery grade propylene and basically put it through an acid wash to get rid of the sulfur, but then they put it in and have to get rid of sulfur. I'm sorry. And then they'll have to neutralize that acid in that product. So they have to do the same thing here. They're using an acid to convert CBD into Delta 8 THC. Now, that acid doesn't get consumed or converted over to anything. It's a catalyst, so it's not consumed. It's still there. So they have to do, quote unquote, an acid wash to get, you know, the pH of this stuff to a reasonable level so it doesn't affect people. But are they actually doing that? And the other thing is, there's a really neat graphic Pro Verde Labs has online. One of the presentations I sent you guys, it's there, but I think there's like if you look at it closely, there's 13 references to these peaks on a spectrograph they did of unknown chemicals. And I actually talked to this guy, sent him an email, and kind of discussed in some of these finer points. And actually, there's a paper too. It's an article online about, the chemists being concerned about Delta 8. Because all of these residual chemicals that they don't even know what they are. That's kind of scary in itself. They have no idea what this particular chemical is on the spectrograph.
This is like a commercial for what could go wrong. We have to take a really quick break here. Our guest is Jesse LeBlanc, and along with all of the other things he's done, he is a science advisor for Every Brain Matters, and we have that tied up on the site for you, linked up to the site. Definitely want you to go look at this, because you cannot absorb any of this in one sitting. You're going to have to look at the rest of it. And as much as we've discussed it, I'm thinking, yeah, I need to listen to this show like 5 more times. Anyway, you can find it all at wethepeopleradio.us. Songs written at a time when marijuana was 2% THC. Even the music sounded happier and less scary and demonic and chemical laced. Yes?
Jesse, I have a question for you. In my research on hemp products, I discovered that hemp is actually used in hazmat situations, Superfund sites, because it apparently cleans the soil. At least this is what the hemp industry is saying, and that it uptakes all the heavy metals and bad stuff that's in the soil. Is that true?
Yes. When I first got into this looking, that was one of the things that really blew me away that I sent out to the group that I normally, circle with friends. There's a really, call it bioremediation, and it absorbs toxins. I haven't validated this, but supposedly they planted hemp all around the Chernobyl
site. Yeah, did they do that?
That's what I read, but there's a CBS article. It's probably six years old, but you could do, I think, bioremediation using hemp, and it'll pop up all over the place. There's an interesting CBS article that I read, that's the one I sent out, where in Italy they had a...
They had a lot of heavy... Jesse, you were abducted by aliens there. Now we can hardly hear you. Something happened. He's far away from his phone.
It's on his end somewhere.
Yeah, Jesse, we can't hear you. Okay, so we can't hear him. We can hear him. He's very small in the background. Yeah, he's going to take care of it. So we, the four of us, have done a ton of programs on this in some form or fashion.
Right.
So really, it's like something for everyone, right?
Well, I find what Jesse sent, he sent, and I was reading over it, and when they hit this one lawsuit in Texas about the commissioner hiring this aide that took all these thousands and thousands of dollars to issue hemp licenses. And I think this industry is not any better than the pot industry.
Or the tobacco industry, or even the tobacco day.
Yeah. We are dealing with the same type of people. It's about the money, and who cares what you ingest into your body?
And sometimes it's just lack of information. I mean, people that are over a certain age think that this is still...
Well, somebody's daughter told them that this would be good for you.
Then there's that.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't realize the chemical... They really don't. I mean, they think that people are still growing just regular pot and, you know, smoking it like they did back in the 60s.
And I'm growing hemp to make thread,
and
to
then
make
there's
clothes,
that.
You know? Like, I need paper, and I can grow my own paper.
Yeah. And... That I don't think a lot of people, when you look at a lot of who is making laws and rules and policy, they're from the era of 2% THC back in the 60s, and they have not kept up. Well, I mean, because why?
Yeah.
Honestly, in real life, most people are not reading a whole lot about this. They're not doing a bunch of stuff about this. But tell you what, we started doing this. I just was looking at our archive. First one we did was with the pharmacist, Phil Drum. Back in July of 2017. And even though we've done a ton of shows since then, he's talking about things today. I'm like, that's new for me. Like, that's a slightly different twist.
And I would want to remind everybody, your audience, that if you've been injured in any way by marijuana or hemp, you should reach out and contact Dave Evans from CIVL, the Cannabis Industry Victims Educating Litigators. And he's an attorney out of New Jersey, and they are bringing successful lawsuits against the industry across the United States. So if you've been injured, just Google CIVL, C-I-V-E-L.
We'll put it on for today.
Okay.
So they can just go on there and click on it. C-I-V-L, yes?
E-L.
Oh, C-I-V-E-L.
I'll send you the link.
I always get it wrong. Okay, we found Jay again. He got slurped up into the cone of silence, and he's now been...
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
The miracle of modern technology is not always miraculous, as we've learned. And the miracle of live radio is even less miraculous sometimes. We'll live. All right.
So yeah, I just want to concur. There is a lot of similarities between this industry and the tobacco industry.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
And the money. The money. And they don't care.
The money and the dumbness. If you're if you weren't a cigarette smoker, even in that in that fight, right?
Any money linked to your governor?
Jesse, any money linked to your governor on this? I know he's very conservative, but it's...
You know, it's funny you ask that, because, you know, I did a open records request with the governor's office to find out when he met with hemp industry representatives. And I got an email back a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And if you juxtapose him meeting with them Thursday, July 31st, 2025, you know, he met with one group, and I'm talking about a group at 10 a.m. He met with somebody from Bluebonnet Labs. And I want you to note some of these names. This to me is a warning flag. Gruntstahl LLC, Jeremy Green's Farm, Strategic Advisor Scott & Scott, Hemp Industry Farmers of America. Okay, and then at 10:45, he met with another group, co-founder and CEO of Mood. They sell, I think, THC-infused drinks, which is illegal per the FDA Food and Drug Act. Aim High Hemp Distribution. That's a fitting name. CBD Pros. That's another CBD Pro, another strategic advisor, and in this other company Nowadays. If somebody came to visit me and their company name was quote unquote Mood, I would, you know, I'd have some red flags go off. But he was able to meet with all of these people. But what's interesting is I know personally, you know, I mean, y'all know Aubrey Adams, Every Brain Matters. She and a host of parents tried to meet with the governor, along with trying to get a face-to-face with him. Medical groups. I mean, there's several medical groups in Texas that sent a letter out, you know, supporting Senate Bill 3, basically banning all THC. He wouldn't meet with any of these people. But he found Tom to meet with the hemp industry, and that really soured a lot of people, especially Republican, conservative people, their viewpoint on Governor Abbott. I used to really respect him. I have a hard time respecting him now. I mean, if he would have at least gave equal opportunity to impacted parents, you know, I praise God that my kids are fine. They didn't fool with this stuff. But, you know, talking to so many parents and listening to their story, it's heartbreaking that, for me, that the governor didn't take Tom out. I mean, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, to me, he should be governor of the state as well as maybe the president. I think he would get a lot done and straighten this country out. He's an awesome man. And the same as Senator Perry, who's been pushing this through. But I just don't know where he's coming from. I mean, if you look at the evidence, it's so clear that he's being influenced by the industry. And I kind of want to circle back to the wording of the 2018 Farm Bill. You see why the wording and some of the language they use is so insidious? Because you wonder, was this accidentally done or purposely done to allow these quote-unquote loopholes? And in a way, he's doing the same thing in Texas as the you know, the senators and representatives who voted for the 2018 Farm Bill did. I mean, it's sort of a sad fact for Texas that we were in this current state, because I didn't think this would happen, especially in light of the fact, and this is on video, you know, basically Dan Patrick said that, and he told us this in a face-to-face meeting, too, that I sat in, that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick gave him his word that he would sign SB3. And it wasn't until, I think, almost midnight he had till June 22nd, 2025 to sign it. And he waited till, I think, 11:45 before he vetoed it. So I don't know what got to him or what changed his mind, but he told at least Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick that he was going to sign SB3.
It's not just
and we Texas. Were happy about it.
It's not just Texas, Jesse. We've had local politicians, our city politicians, take a lot of money from the cannabis industry, and all of a sudden things seem to happen where, you know, I mean, it's quid pro quo. It's pay to play. There's no doubt about it. I had a statistic from Oklahoma that just came out in the subcommittee meeting, and that the budget for Oklahoma is something like $13 billion a year. And the marijuana and hemp industry money was $130 billion a year, mostly going to Chinese operatives. So when you have that kind of money, it's just so corrupts so many politicians. They claim to be conservative, and then they take all this money through the back door, and it is ruining our country and our governments.
Yeah, being you brought up the Chinese, and I'm not being racist because I love the Chinese. You know, we were their allies during World War II. But what concerns me is that if, you know, and I challenge everybody to spend a few minutes, maybe 30 minutes, reading up on the mid-1800s, the opium wars between China and Britain and kind of the West. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but basically the British flooded the Chinese drug market with cheap opium from India. And they went to a couple wars, I think two wars. That's how Britain got Hong Kong, was because of one of the opium wars. There was two of them. But basically the Chinese are using the same book that the British did, because it, you know, that whole opium issue in China in the mid-1800s set that country back a whole century at least. That's what a lot of historians say. And I think they're using that same exact playbook on America in the West. I know that sounds kind of conspiratorial, but it's not meant to be. Just read history. There's so much we can learn from history that we're ignoring. And that's one of those lessons from history that we need to take heed, especially our politicians who have you know, the purse strings for enforcement. But I think, Joe, you'll agree that part of the problem is not so much we don't have laws on the books already. It's a lack of enforcement.
Well, we have a county just north of us who can't enforce because currently the ACLU is representing the cartel growers against the county who's trying to enforce the law and ordinances that would curtail their illegal activities. And who would have thought, well, I guess now it's not really all that shocking, but the ACLU is representing criminals and successfully representing criminals.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there was a Food and Drug Act wording that clearly shows that adding any cannabinoids to food, drinks, or beverages is illegal. But, you know, one of the things, at least we heard through the grapevine, that Governor Abbott's pushing, at least he wants to get going, is these THC-infused drinks. And I don't know if you want to go down that rabbit hole.
We can. And we've got to blow out for the news here because it's going to cut us off whenever Alex gives me the high sign here. High sign. Our guest is Jesse LeBlanc, and we will be right back after the news. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.